13th, and week one is officially in the books, folks. The Seahawks, Seattle Seahawks, surprised the Denver Broncos last night, winning in Russell Wilson's debut with the Broncos. And John, I'll just say it right off the bat, I was thoroughly unimpressed by the Denver Broncos last night. I mean, it was interesting that they decided to go for the field goal. I kind of felt like, I mean, you spend all that money, you spend all that capital in getting a quote-unquote franchise quarterback, and you're not going to try to win the game with him? I don't know, man. I know it's early, but that's a questionable decision, if you're going to ask me.
Yeah, Denver head coach Nathaniel Hackett, who's in his first year as head coach of the Broncos, first time as a head coach. The only one this week that lost in their career debut, the other 4-1, and he had an opportunity to win. They kind of messed up a lot, you know, inside the red zone. They moved the ball up and down the field, and then turnovers and penalties and bad red zone play kept Seattle in the game. And look, Geno Smith was, what, 17 of 18 in the first half? I mean, that was a surprise, to say the least. But, you know, the thing is, when you look at these revenge games, when the quarterback goes back to play his old team, I think it's a lot of pressure on the quarterback. I mean, we saw it last year with Brady coming to Gillette Stadium, and we saw it last night. I thought Russell Wilson played pretty well. But, yeah, I know it's not basketball season yet. And I will say this, Russell Wilson much more accurate than Russell Westbrook.
Yes.
But, just settling for a 64-yard field goal, that's crazy. I mean, maybe if you're in a dome that the conditions aren't a factor and all of that stuff, 64 yards, I mean, it would have tied for the second longest field goal in the history of the league, and you had over a minute in all your timeouts, and it's 4th and 5, and like you said, and you nailed it, you went out and gave up, what, 5 draft picks and 3 players to get Russell Wilson and sign him to a $250 million contract, and then you take him over to the side and say, well, let's see if this guy can nail a 64-yard field goal. Go for it on 4th down. If you don't make it, you still have your timeouts. In theory, you could get the ball back with 20 seconds left and see what, you know, Wilson could do. What's the chance of making a 64-yard field goal in that situation? Not very high.
No, not at all. I mean, again, and this isn't trust me, I know people were making the same essential argument I'm making, but basing it off – look, I'm not basing it off analytics. I'm just basing it off common sense. Mm-hmm. You know, you're looking at the situation, and again, you're – look, I'm not necessarily surprised, because, I mean, you kind of said it, you know, and it kind of, to me, kind of sums up Russell Wilson. It's like, you said he's played pretty well. Yeah, he did. But, you know, this is a guy that's supposed to be, you know, a tier 1A, you know, barely tier 2 quarterback. You know what I'm saying? That's what he's been sold to me as. This guy that has the most wins in his first 10 seasons. Again, that's if you ignore the fact that that includes 2 seasons in which Tom Brady literally started 1 game and played about 40 minutes. So, again, if you want to hang your hat on that as a record, I mean, it's impressive for Russell Wilson, but, you know, if that's what you want to hang your hat on, by all means, that's fine by me. But I'm always going to point out the little catch that comes with that record that gets touted quite a bit with Russell Wilson. We saw it again last night on one of the graphics during the show. But, you know, the reality of it is, I think Russell Wilson's a really good quarterback. But the problem is, really good quarterbacks aren't elite-tier quarterbacks. There's a difference. And you see that week to week with guys like Brady and, you know, Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes and those guys that, you know, you know what you're getting out of them, and you know what they're going to do to elevate your team. And I just, like, I look at Russell Wilson, I'm like, This game was 17-16. I understand it's your first game back, playing with a new team, and it happens to be against your old team, and you're getting booed. But you know what, John? This is the guy who told me that he trains 3 times longer than everyone else and watches film 3 times more than everyone else and rehabs 19 hours a day. So that's what you're getting out of rehabbing and training and doing all that stuff pretty much longer than there's physically time in each day, then I expect more than that. And I expect more than coming up short in big moments, which, look, let's face it, John, that's kind of been Russell Wilson's MO. As good as he has been in a lot of situations, he's come up very short, pun intended, I guess, in a lot of big moments. And I think, you know, as much as week one isn't necessarily a Super Bowl moment, it's still relatively a big moment that, again, you came up short.
Yeah, and I think the mistake people make is trying to elevate him into that tier one, right? And at this point, I think there's four guys that I throw in there, and they also put Josh Allen in there because the talent level is just so extreme, and it seems like his teammates really buy into him, and he's a force of nature and all that stuff. But I would put Wilson in with the next group, whether it be Herbert and Burrow, you know, maybe Lamar Jackson or Stafford, who's the reigning Super Bowl champion. Whenever Deshaun Watson gets back to playing, I think he's in that group as well. And then there's another group after that that's probably, what, David Carr? Derek Carr. I'm really good with names.
Yeah, whatever. I mean,
I sound like this old
one
guy.
One Carr,
two up,
Carr,
you know,
three Carr, four.
Yeah, cars, they're all, you know,
they all,
sometimes
they all throw horribly timed interceptions, so
yeah,
that's all that
yeah,
really
so
matters.
Sometimes, sometimes those cars can be very pedestrian.
Yes.
I think that's a good quip, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I would put Derek Carr and Dak Prescott, Kirk Cousins into the next level. They're really good quarterbacks, but they're not quite second-tier quarterbacks. So, yeah, I mean, and Wilson, I just push back because, you know, I'm a big fan of Colin Coward. I love him. I think he's great. But he continually elevates Russell Wilson into the same level. Forget quarterbacks. He puts him in with Brady and LeBron,
which to me is
laughable. Like, there's no one in that class. Those guys are like unicorns. Let's not compare anybody to those two guys. They've been around for two decades, and they're still, like, arguably the best at their sport. He's an excellent quarterback without question. You know, the funny thing is, and I was just thinking about this, you know, after the game, that imagine the difference in their career paths, and who knows what would happen after that. But imagine if Seattle wins that Super Bowl over the Patriots, mm-hmm. right? They get the ball in the end zone. At that moment, Brady would be stuck on three Super Bowls, which is, you know, not bad to be stuck on three Super Bowls. But
three and
damn,
three,
the guys
though.
Won four. Three still really good. I mean, that's a lot of Super Bowls. I'd take them. But it isn't seven, and Wilson would have his second Super Bowl, and I think he was about 26 at the time,
yeah,
or 25, and you'd be like, holy crap, this guy's coming. You know, he's you know, he's going to be the next great winner in the sport, and it's just, it flipped at that moment, and that's why I thought that was the most important Super Bowl win by the Patriots, because they hadn't won in 9 years, and it was such a monumental game, and the lead-up to it was just incredible with the Deflategate and, you know, all of that, and the Patriots were able to win that game. But if that flips on one play, and it very easily could have, now we're maybe talking about a different dynamic. But it's almost as if Seattle, and maybe to a lesser degree, Wilson, never really recovered from that.
Well, no, I mean, they were never able to match the defensive ability that they had in those two Super Bowls. And I think,
mm-hmm.
you know, again, Russell Wilson has limitations. You know, again, he's not Tom Brady, you know, as much as people want to talk about him, like, in that sentence, in that you know, realm, he's not that guy. So, which is, this is what Tom Brady's done. He's really screwed things up, because
mm-hmm.
the way we evaluate, especially quarterbacks, and how we talk about quarterbacks is completely ass backwards. And I've said this a lot about Aaron Rodgers. We should be talking about how great of a career Aaron Rodgers has had, but what's it focused on? He hasn't won enough. He hasn't won enough Super Bowls. The guy's a four-time MVP. Now, again, I may disagree with the last one, but the fact of the matter is he is a four-time MVP. He's had one hell of a career, and that's how it should be looked at. But quite frankly, if he were to retire this season, especially in the way it started after this season, he'd probably be looked at as sort of a disappointment. Like, yeah, he'd be going in first ballot Hall of Famer and all that stuff, you know, Hall of Fame-wise, but for the most part, everyone would be like, yeah, but, you know, that's going to be Aaron Rodgers. Everyone's going to think that's his, like, last name or his maiden name. Yeah, but, because that's what all it's going to be about. And that shouldn't be the case, John. That shouldn't be the case. Same with Russell Wilson.
It's kind of Kevin Durant. I mean, again, and I always compare Kevin Durant and Aaron Rodgers. I mean, just incredible talents, and they produce, you know, at a very, very high level. But there's just a little something missing, right? You know, like Durant does have two titles, but he had to go to Golden State to win them. And on his own, I believe in 11 years, he's gone to exactly one NBA Finals. And he lost in five games to LeBron. So, yeah, it's just, look, when I look at the quarterbacks in the history of the sport, again, I like to separate pre-Super Bowl era, post-Super Bowl era. Because, I mean, how are we comparing Johnny Unitas and, you know, all those great old quarterbacks to the guys today? It's a different sport, but to me, it's like a pyramid, right? With you got one guy on top, which is Brady. And then there's like a couple of guys underneath him, which in this case, I'd say Montana and Manning. And then in the, and I put Elway in there too. And then in the third level, now you can start talking about Rodgers and Favre and Marino and whoever, Steve Young, and pick all these great quarterbacks that have all played. They've all had wonderful careers, right? Mm-hmm. But to compare him to Brady, it's laughable. It's almost like, you know, and I know this is ancient, but Bill Russell winning 11 championships in 13 years. Everybody else that played in that era didn't win.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Elgin Baylor is one of the greatest players in the history of basketball, never won a title. Jerry West won one, and that came after Russell retired. Chamberlain won two. One of them came after Russell retired. I mean, these are all-time great players. He just dominated so much, and it's almost kind of like this with the quarterbacks. I mean, the other day, I'm thinking, as well, I've been doing a lot of thinking, I guess, but Brady has seven Super Bowls. Every other quarterback in the NFL has combined for six.
Yeah.
And two of those belong, one to Joe Flacco, who's just kind of holding the clipboard right now until Zach Wilson comes back, and the other one is Nick Foles, who, where is he playing? I mean, is he playing? Like, is he a backup somewhere?
He's somewhere.
That's it. And, he's somewhere, and I don't know where.
And I'm trying. It's like I feel like I should know this. I don't know why. I should know this. I think I should.
Well, you
know
have
this.
A Nick Foles doll, don't you?
Oh
you
yeah, can, yeah. You know, no, no. I care so. I'm sorry, Philadelphia Eagles fans. I care so little about Nick Foles and that Super Bowl. Like they think it's like that. It keeps me up at night, and I really just don't care. Like, you know what I mean? I don't care. The Patriots won three Super Bowls in those 5 years. I don't care about losing that game. I'm over.
Come
it,
on,
trust
you
me.
Care. That no, would have been nice. No. That would have been that would have been a nice feather in Brady's cap. He'd have eight and going on nine, and he 505 yards
look,
in the
John,
game.
John, I'm a reasonable person. Okay, I'm perfectly okay with seven going on eight right now. I'm okay. Look, of course, I wanted the Patriots to win that game, just like I wanted to win Super Bowl 42. Now. That's a game that keeps me up at night sometimes. I wake up in sweats and you know, I'm just thinking about that game over and over again, even though it was 15 years ago. Oh, my God. 15 years ago.
I know.
Ago.
15 years ago, yeah.
Let's not – excuse me. Let's not dwell on that. I know we're starting to get on this tangent about quarterbacks, but the kind of the point is look, I mean, Russell Wilson's a fine quarterback, and my big point when it comes to this was going to be, well, you know, if you look at his career right now, it you would probably consider it somewhat of, I don't know, disappointing. I wouldn't actually, hold on, let me take that back. Not necessarily disappointing, but just I don't know, just not, it doesn't compare, I'd say, to,
you know, if you look at his career right now, it you would probably.
I'm sorry, guys, I'm looping in some of the audio here by accident. So there we go. Fix that problem. I was wondering what was going on there.
Would you call it unfulfilled? How's that sound?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, again, because you're trying to compare it to Tom Brady. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, Russell Wilson fans will cling to that most wins in first 10 seasons. Like, see, he's on GOAT pace, or he's just, you know, he's doing... No, I mean, but, yeah, okay. Technically, yes. In Brady's first 10 seasons, he missed the entire 2000 season because he didn't play. He wasn't the starter. In the 2008 season, he played 15 minutes. So, yes, technically, those are his two of his first 10 seasons. So, if you... You know, compare the wins. Yes, Russell Wilson's going to outpace him, but you know damn well that you know, that's again, come on, John. You can't, with a straight face, if you're a Seahawks fan, go to sleep at night and say, yes, I can't believe he has that record. It's such an impressive record. And you're like, okay, it's a technicality, all right? Because the reality of it is, if you're going to compare 10 seasons worth of starting, then Tom Brady blows him out of the water. And then what does Russell Wilson have? Well, he has a Super Bowl win, which is nice. Never really been in the MVP conversation when it counts. Nothing of note for, I guess, individual achievements. You know what I mean? Like, he's never been like kind of like the. Maybe he's led the. I don't think he's led the league in touchdown passes.
I think he might have tied 1 year, but he's never been first or second.
But he's never been
first or second team All Pro, which, you know, Brady and Rodgers have a slew of those. When you win the MVP, you're obviously first team All Pro, but a lot of second team All Pros too.
Yeah, so I'm sitting here thinking like, okay, well, again, very nice career. I mean, let's not lose focus on what we're seeing. It's a great career. I mean, any career that, you know, that extends beyond 10 years, I mean, should be, you know, celebrated because of how difficult this sport is. So, you know, I take a lot. I think longevity, and consistency over that longevity is especially in football is impressive. So, you know, give Russell Wilson credit where credit's due, but he's not that tier one level quarterback. And I think Broncos fans need to realize that, yes, they absolutely improved at quarterback. I mean, Drew Locke was on the sideline of the other team, but that was definitely an improvement. But there's going to be shortcomings. There's reasons why he's never had an MVP vote, and it's no conspiracy against Russell Wilson. It's just that he hasn't earned one.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think we're in agreement on this, and there are people that look. I mean, Twitter is a sewer, so you've got people out there that just throw crazy stuff out there. I mean, I love putting lists out there, and then the responses are you high? Are you on drugs? And I don't even respond. I actually like the tweet that comes back to me, and, you know, have a good day. Because, you know, if you have these normal discussions about these things, you're putting some thought into it, right? It's not like, he's a great quarterback. He's, you know, is equal to Tom Brady because he won more games in his first 10 years. How's Tom Brady's second 10 years, which would be 2010 mm-hmm. to 2019? That's actually more wins yeah. in that 10-year period. And now he's working on his third 10-year run, right, starting in 2020 with Tampa. So, yeah, I mean, anybody that puts Russell Wilson up there with – I get turned off when people put Russell Wilson up there with Aaron Rodgers. I mean, mm-hmm. Rodgers is I think an infinitely better quarterback than Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, to me, that's not even, again, Russell Wilson, you know, excellent quarterback. And look where he came from, third round pick. He went to a place that had just signed a pretty major free agent in Matt Flynn and give Seattle credit for, you know, going into camp and saying, well, this guy's better than Matt Flynn, so we'll move on from our high priced free agent and go with the rookie. And when he had that great defense and Marshawn Lynch, you know, he was a good game manager for Seattle. They went to a Super Bowl, won it, and then went to another one and lost it. And then the team kind of broke up. And maybe you get turned off, too, that a lot of his teammates just aren't big fans of his, right?
Yeah.
You know, like whether it be Richard Sherman or a bunch of other guys, you know, just kind of look at him kind of side-eyed and like,
well, look,
he's kind of a weird dude.
One of my biggest gripes with him, and we saw it on full display yesterday before the game, is kind of just, I think he's a phony. If there's one mm-hmm. if there's one thing that he and LeBron do compare at, it is self promotion. And but as much as I think LeBron is kind of the NBA king of self promotion and kind of, you know, patting himself on the back, I think Russell Wilson's like 10 times worse and 10 times more phony. It comes across to me.
Nowhere near as good a player,
yeah,
right?
So exactly. So to me, I look at it as Russell Wilson has bought into his own hype, and he's really, yep. really just, he's 100% in on Russell Wilson, and mm-hmm. you can see it in his actions. I mean, I don't know what was look, I understand that like players and people by nature, you're going to be a little bit dramatic, especially when you know the camera's on you. It's just human nature. I mean, you're going to do those things. You're going to always kind of, especially nowadays where you're always kind of looking or having that viral moment on your mind, you know? But, like, Russell Wilson comes out in the middle of the field yesterday and spins around like, I don't know what he's doing. Like, arms out, like, some sort of, like, religious, like, I don't know. It was like, I was sitting there, it pissed me off because I'm like, you are so phony. Like just beyond phony, like... But I feel like Mike Moffitt right now calling him a phony. Like that's what it's like right now. But that's what it is, and like it comes across not only off the field but on the field. Like, so again, he buys into his own hype. He really is just into it. I'm Russell Wilson, you know, let's ride, you know. I mean, don't even get me started on like the most like forced like catchphrase ever. Let's ride. Ugh. I'm getting pissed
go
off.
Hawks,
yeah.
Go Hawks,
yeah.
Yeah.
Go Hawks, yeah. Yeah. Go team, you know, all that stuff. Great.
Ride that
awesome.
Bronco. Is
yeah,
that going to be the next
Bronco.
Thing? Ride
yeah.
that Bronco.
so silly. But
no, I mean,
I
agree with you.
Yeah, he's just, again, he buys into his own hype. He believes that he is what, you know, a segment of Twitter and some analysts believe he is. And he just doesn't come up to that level. So that's where you get this disappointment. That's where you get these, like, well, why isn't Russell Wilson ever in the MVP conversation? Well, because he doesn't deserve it. Like, just because you have good stretches here and there, okay, great, fantastic. And you know, one of the things that you know, gets people on his side a lot, and this is kind of the crossroads we're at, right, John, when it comes to especially quarterback evaluation. How do you separate ability from flashiness, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of his issues, obviously, is being one of the most sacked quarterbacks, and everyone's always instinct is to blame the offensive line. Well, no, I mean, he has a huge hand in that because of the way he plays and how he holds onto the ball and some of the poor decision-making that he has. Well, what saves him, and I think really jumps out in front of people's eyes and in people's minds, is that does anyone throw a prettier deep ball when you're hitting Tyler Lockett down the field? Probably not, right? Like when mm-hmm. he throws a great deep ball, it's a very pretty thing, all right? When you're watching it, it's aesthetically, mechanically, everything about it is great. And I think that that throws people. Because one, yes, it is great, but two, he doesn't do it all the time. Three, it's not a sustainable way of playing quarterback. It's a prayer. It's a Hail Mary, essentially. You know, those, you can't rely on those deep balls, and really a lot of it has to do with some of the receivers involved as well. So beyond that, Russell Wilson does a lot of things really well, just not to the level that I think some people think he does. And I think that's where you come to that head where you're like, okay, if he's so good, why hasn't he won more? And why hasn't he had more individual success? Because it's not all about teams. Everyone wants to say, oh, well, you know, Brady did this because of X, Y, and Z. No, Brady did this because he's Tom Brady. Same with Patrick Mahomes, same with Aaron Rodgers. I'm not convinced that Russell Wilson's done anything outside, you know, I don't think he won that Super Bowl. Let's just put it that way.
Oh, the 43-8 game over Denver? No, I mean, that defense was ridiculous. You know, that game was over after the first play on the safety, right? It's just at that point, it's 2-0 before we sat down, and it's like Denver's messed up today, and Seattle looks like the better team. Yeah, no, I mean, that was a classic case of a great defense dominating. No, again, maybe where he came from, third-round pick, he seems to be very – friendly with the media, which doesn't hurt. You know, look, these quarterbacks, in a sense, tend to be that way because they're the face of the franchise. And, you know, Brady's had a good relationship with the media as well. I mean, Rodgers, you know, the Green Bay media loves them. The national media loves them. So, you know, I think that's part of it, that they look at it. And the pushback I always have with the MVP voting is, you know, it would have been nice if he got a second or third place vote in the MVP voting, but they don't have those. The way it's set up is 50 people vote for MVP and they get one vote. You vote for your MVP. There's no second or third place finish. Name me one time where you could look at a season and say Russell Wilson was the MVP of the league. Never, right? I mean, it's just,
yeah, but
last year, I think.
But at the same time, but at the same time, though, the voting is there's enough votes out there that he can earn it. Because, like, you do, I mean, you obviously don't vote 1, 2,
no,
and three.
I'm agreeing with you, but yeah. I mean, it's like last year, who got the votes? It was Rodgers and Brady, no one else. And that's
sure.
Pretty much all
but,
that deserves.
But no one,
so,
no one.
It's not like baseball where there's a fifth place vote and you can say, well, this guy finished fifth because someone voted for him fifth. Or I remember when Pedro didn't win the MVP in 99 because somebody, I think it was George King out of New York, didn't even give him a 10th place vote. So, you know, it's, whereas the MVP voting, it's 50, you get 50 votes first place. Maybe they, you know, it's not a big deal if they change it or not. But so that there's been never a time where you could say, okay, Russell Wilson deserves an MVP vote because there's only one vote per voter. So yeah, that's just the way the system is. Like, you know, like going into the ballot and voting for your U.S. senator.
Well, and look, I mean, and that's the thing. It's like people want to sit there and say, well, he should have. No, I mean, he shouldn't have.
No,
I mean, that's the point. Like, I mean, he hasn't earned one of those MVP votes. If he had, he would have at least gotten one. I mean, and again, as flawed as the system is, someone got an MVP vote other than Tom Brady in 2007. So it is possible that you can at least squeak at least one vote here and there. And the fact that he hasn't kind of does speak volumes because, again, year in, year out, I don't think at any point have I ever considered Russell Wilson to be the best quarterback in the league. Obviously, my opinion on that discussion has been, or my answer to that question has been the same for, you know, 7 years now. And I think I have a very strong case for that. So, and Russell Wilson has been nowhere near that conversation. There's been people in the mix at 2 and 3 and all that, but it's never been Russell Wilson. And again, that's not a terribly bad thing. I mean, we're not sitting here saying like, oh, he's an epic failure because isn't Tom Brady. Well, guess what? How many quarterbacks have taken snaps in NFL history? One of them is Tom Brady. So, you know, it's okay if you don't live up to that hype or if you don't match that expectation. But, relative to Russell Wilson and I think some of these other quarterbacks, I'd still put him, again, behind Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, I've seen enough out of some of these younger guys to think that they have a bigger, obviously guys like Patrick Mahomes have a bigger ceiling and ability than Russell Wilson at this point.
Yeah, and we're both big Herbert fans and Joe Burrow fans, and I know they're very young. Herbert's in his fourth year. They're both in their third year. I still can't get it out of my head that Miami took Tua over Justin Herbert. I mean, imagine Miami with Justin Herbert quarterbacking that team. That would be a sure Super Bowl contender. But, and they're young guys, but we're both very high on those guys. You can just see the talent. The size. Look, I do believe in the quarterback position that size does matter. I'm sorry. We were talking about that yesterday. You mean the 6'4 guy over the 5'10 guy if the talent's the same because, you know, you're not getting as many balls batted down. You could see the passing lanes a lot better. I mean, you know, I'm a sizeist when it comes to quarterbacks.
Well,
I think it is important.
I mean, people will say, oh, well, Drew Brees. Well, how many Drew Breeses are there? I mean, you have Drew Brees, right. You have like Steve Young, you know, shorter quarterbacks.
Yeah, yep.
You know,
Rodgers is about 6'2".
Yeah, but
that's big enough, and he's got incredibly long arms and huge hands. So yeah. I mean, kind of, you know, and he's got a golden arm, so that's nice to have. So yeah, I mean, and Young was probably about 6'1", and Brees 5'11", but Brees also got to play with Sean Payton during most of his career, and that helped, and, you know, playing in a dome didn't hurt and all those things. But yeah, I mean, Brady's 6'5", and Manning was 6'6", and, you know, Josh Allen looks like he's a power forward in the NBA, for God's sakes. Patrick Mahomes is built like a linebacker, man. That's a good thing. But I think he's an excellent quarterback. I top 7 or 8 quarterbacks in the league. There's nothing wrong with that. You can win with that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Stafford won the Super Bowl last year, and I kind of put them in the same class, right? I mean, they're both around the same. Both excellent quarterbacks, put up good numbers. I think they can elevate their teams, but they're not in the tier one group that we've, you know, clearly discussed.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. So it wasn't necessarily all good for the Seahawks yesterday. Obviously, they won, but it looks like Jamal Adams might have suffered a pretty serious knee injury. Mm-hmm. They don't know exactly, or I haven't seen any update to confirm or whatever, but it looks like he's going to be out for a little bit. We actually talked about Dak Prescott yesterday a little bit. 4 to 6
yep.
weeks being out is the new kind of ballpark estimate, which, again, if you're a Cowboys fan, this season's over. I mean, I said it yesterday.
Yep.
There was nothing, even with Dak Prescott on the field yesterday, that I saw from the Cowboys where I'm like, okay, they can build on this. No. And now Dak Prescott is out. Good luck. See you later. Plan for next season. I mean, if he's out 6 weeks, I mean, the only saving grace, John, would be if this NFC East division is the NFC East and it's won by going like 9-8. I mean, that's about
right.
The only saving grace the Cowboys have, because I think this completely takes them out of the NFC race in terms of top seeding and all that. Can they win their division? That's the only thing right now that could get them to the playoffs, in my opinion. And, you know, maybe with the extra playoff spot, maybe something else kind of shakes out. But right now I'm looking at it as, wow, the Cowboys have to win the NFC East to make the playoffs this year. And that's a fairly tall order if you get Dak Prescott back at the lower end of that estimate. If he's out 6-7 weeks, see ya. Adios.
Yeah, I mean, because they've got a tough schedule. They're playing Cincinnati this week. Cincinnati coming off a loss. That should be a tough game, even though it's in Dallas. And then you go from there.
Real quick. Talk about the opposite of a unstoppable train and a movable object. You have Trayvon Diggs. And then Joe Burrow coming off 4-interception game. Like, I don't know
right.
if Trayvon Diggs is going to have, like, 5 interceptions or he's going to let up 285 yards. I really don't know. Like, think about that matchup for a minute.
Yeah, against Ja'Marr Chase, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that should be quite the matchup. Man, that's Alabama-LSU, right? Without question. It seems like the whole league is dominated by LSU and Alabama wide receivers and corners, and they're all really good. That's going to be an interesting matchup. And look, unless Cooper rushes Tom Brady, you know, part two and steps in and leads the Cowboys to the Super Bowl, yeah, I'm with you. I think third, maybe fourth place. I'm high on the Giants, you know that. And Washington was able to win Sunday over Jacksonville, and Carson Wentz looked pretty good. So, you know, that division might be tougher for Dallas. And I wasn't high on them going into the season. Now that they've lost their quarterback, I think they're in a very difficult situation.
Yeah, a world of hurt, as they say. Other injury news, I guess we'll stick on that topic. Mac Jones apparently is suffering from back spasms. And to be honest with you, I don't know when the injury was, you know, when it occurred or when it started to flare up on him. I wasn't necessarily disappointed yesterday in the Patriots play calling, or on Sunday rather. I felt like they didn't really push the ball downfield, and maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, and maybe this is a habit that Mac Jones had last year too, but, and, or maybe this is a result of the back spasms, but I saw a lot of the back leg non-plant foot, like just flailing out
mm-hmm.
when he threw, which to me doesn't indicate any sort of putting a lot of oomph into your throw. And,
right.
You know, you sit there and you watch again, you go to a guy like Tom Brady, who I think is the most like mechanically sound quarterback I've ever seen in my mm-hmm. life. And you're never going to see that type of throw from him. And it felt like what it looked like to me was like an outfielder trying to huck the ball from center field. You know what I mean? To the kickoff
right.
guy, just huck, you know, use your arm and your plant leg. So I don't know if that had something to do with it. It was definitely not, it wasn't this doom and gloom worst game you've ever seen from the Patriots. It was obviously disappointing, and I think their mistakes were very costly. They played, like, I felt like they played pretty well on defense. I mean, obviously, the 4th-and-7 notwithstanding. Offensively, again, I wasn't disappointing I don't think the play calling was necessarily an issue. I think execution was, and, you know, quite frankly, I would like to see a little bit more trying to push the ball downfield a little bit, because I feel like it was just death by 1,000 cuts, and unfortunately, they only got to about 30 cuts before they had to punt the ball, so.
Yeah, I mean, he needs to be mechanically sound, because he doesn't have, you know, that extreme arm talent. You know, like Rodgers and Mahomes can throw off their knees and still complete passes. You're dead on about Brady. The guy is just like, if you had a young kid and wanted them to learn how to play the quarterback position.
Let's put it this way. If you wanted to teach a robot how to function, you would have him mimic what Tom Brady does.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Everything's perfect. It's just, you know, everything. The whole thing is like, here's how you play the quarterback position. It's incredible. So yeah, I think that may have been that. Offensively, yeah, I'd like to see more Kendrick Bourne. I think he had 2 snaps, and then one of them he had a 41-yard reception. I think he's the most dangerous receiver. He's pretty good, and you know they've got receivers. They've got a lot of like 2s or 3s that I think if you put them together, you can have a decent unit there, right? Jacoby Myers and Aguilar, you know, and Devontae Parker. So you know the 4 of those guys could be good, but you got to somehow figure out how to get them all in there. Yeah, we'll see. I mean. Defensively, they gave up 13 points, and you know, 6 came on that 4th-and-7 call that led to the touchdown late in the second quarter. So I think the defense was okay. It wasn't bad. So if they can replicate that and get the offense moving a little bit, you know, big win Sunday is on the table in Pittsburgh. TJ Watt's not going to play. And, you know, Pittsburgh create a lot of turnovers against Cincinnati, so you're going to have to be aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
That's still a really good defense. So that's going to be a really – tough matchup for the Patriots, and you know there's a huge difference. I mean, this is not a cliche, but 2-1-1 and 0-2 is a huge difference early in the season.
Oh, sure, absolutely. And look, I mean, when it comes to looking at the Patriots, and people have asked me, how do you look at? Well, I mean, it's all relative, okay? I mean, what were your expectations coming in? And look, we've talked about this a number of times. I don't care who you replace Tom Brady with; you're taking a step back as a franchise without him under center. I mean, there's nothing you can do to change that, and I accept that. Again, it makes sense. Okay, well, you're going from having the greatest quarterback of all time, and currently, you know, I was making the case back then that he was still the best in the league, you're taking that off your roster. Not only are you taking that ability, but you're taking the stability of the franchise away from you. Because as much as Bill Belichick is there, and I'm not an anti-Belichick guy by no means, I think he's the greatest coach I've certainly ever seen. And, you know, there's only a couple guys you can even put in the conversation with him. But the reality of it is, and he'd agree with me, that at the end of the day, it's the players that make these things go. So the most important factor to me is that a quarterback, when you have that elite quarterback that checks so many boxes like Brady had, then you can get away with doing a lot of other things and getting over some hurdles that, you know, now are presenting you with losses as opposed to maybe tight victories or maybe those, you know, those victories that people would complain about all the time. Oh, they didn't really look that good. Well, guess what? They had a lot of issues, and they were masked by Tom Brady. So, yeah, sometimes mm-hmm. you're not going to win, you know, by 25 points. You're just going to win because, well, you have a really good team with an incredibly elite quarterback. Well, now you have a pretty okay group of talent. We don't know exactly what Mac Jones is yet. We don't know what some of these other pieces are yet, but they have talent. They can win games. And certainly yesterday or Sunday was a game that, again, I don't want to play the if, ands, or buts game, but a couple little tweaks and you're thinking, okay, kind of like that opener last year in Miami where it's like, okay, couple things change and you're looking at a different result. You know, maybe the Dolphins get called for pass interference on that first drive, negating the interception. All of a sudden, the Patriots go up 7-0 and it's a whole different game because, I quite frankly, what I saw from Tua was not encouraging, so I'm not too worried about what Tua is, but it's a fine line, John. And unfortunately, the Patriots are, and the people mostly for the fact, you know, most of the people that cover them are transitioning away from what we've seen for the last 20 years. And that was, well, of course the Patriots are going to win. Of course they're going to go out and just dominate week one. Of course they're going to do that. You know what I mean? That's what I think mm-hmm. a lot of people need to let go of and just realize, yeah, you know what? You're a team that's growing now. You're building towards something, and it's not going to happen overnight.
Yeah, you just don't want to be the Chicago Bulls post 1998. 24 years, they've been pretty much irrelevant since Mr. Jordan and Scottie Pippen and Phil Jackson left town. That's what you hope doesn't happen because Brady is that great and such a force multiplier. You know, as my good friend Ron Borges always said, he's the parish priest. You know, forgive all sins, Father Brady. So I think that, you know, the impossible guy to replace, but, you know, let's not even try to go there. But, yeah, I mean, I think they're a middling team. There's going to be some Sundays where things click and they're able to win, and then there'll be other weeks where mm-hmm. it's just not there. And you're so right about Tua. I think the big loser Sunday might have been Bryce Young, the current quarterback at Alabama, yeah. who I like a lot. I think he's got a lot of the it factor. He's just not a real big guy. So that, you know, may be a mark against him. But he was probably watching the game and, you know, two guys that probably helped recruit him to Alabama. And he's like, ooh, these two guys don't look all that great. Maybe the Alabama quarterback thing isn't a real thing. Heck, the three best quarterbacks in the history of Alabama are Bart Starr, Ken Stabler, and Joe Namath. Two of those guys are, you know, no longer with us. And Joe Namath is still doing, like, you know, commercials for Social Security. Yeah. So during this run with Nick Saban, the quarterbacks, you know, they've been effective, but they haven't gone on to do anything in the NFL or really be effective in the NFL. Because they're so well coached in Alabama, and they also play with such extreme talent. I mean, I'm not being hyperbolic here. Mac Jones played with better receivers at Alabama than he has now. He played with four first-round picks at Alabama and played with, like, this really talented offensive line and got great coaching from Steve Sarkisian and Brian Daboll and all those guys that were offensive coordinators. Now you've got Billy O'Brien there. You know, so sometimes the Alabama quarterbacks come into the league and they've, like, maxed out, almost like some of the Duke basketball players. So, you know, we'll see what happens with Bryce Young, not to go on a tangent there, but I think he was looking at the game going, ugh, hopefully I'll be better than these guys.
Yeah.
But, I'm not a big fan of Tua. You know the quarterbacks I like. I like the extreme talented guys. You know, I'm a slave to that stuff.
Yeah, and look, I mean, I'm not going to miss a moment to relish in any sort of failure of the Dolphins. I think it's ingrained in me as a Patriots fan and a Massachusetts native, even though I've lived down here in Florida for quite some time. So, you know, I like, you got to tip your hats off. You know, great game plan. You know, they went out, executed, obviously beat the Patriots. I'm not looking at them as, you know, I really don't know what they are, sort of like the Patriots. I mean, the Patriots could go out next week and have a much better game if Mac is healthy and he, you know, they push the ball downfield maybe a little bit, or the Dolphins couldn't go out and stink it up, or they could do exactly the same thing they did this week, and all of a sudden you're like, all right, maybe the Patriots aren't that good of a team. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But what I do know is that it's only week one, and I have no earthly idea what's going to happen 6 weeks from now, 7 weeks from now, and, you know, we'll just have to wait and see. So I think that's going to do it for us here today. We'll be back on Thursday. We got a big, big Thursday night game, Chiefs and Chargers. That's going to be a whole hell of a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to talking about that and then hopefully opining about that and then hopefully watching a very good game. And hopefully it's not a dud. So, but a good way to kick off Thursday night football this season during its regular broadcast. So give us a follow on Twitter at Full Press NFL, at FP Coverage, underscore Coverage, and of course at FPC Radio Live. And yeah, enjoy the show, and we will be back tomorrow. Have a good one, folks.